Hello and welcome to Myopia Movies. This week, we go back to Hellboy Village and revisit some old friends who have been with us before. Sorry, man, it's been burning the candle at both ends, and guess who knows a little bit about fire? Hellboy! So, enjoy this comic book movie recap. This movie was actually kind of a super lot of fun, and if you're curious, you should follow us on Facebook, Twitter, rate, review, all those kinds of things, and check out the Patreon, patreon.com/myopia. Thanks for listening. Don't watch that David Harbour one. It's bad.
Myopia Movies. My name is Steve. I'm from accounting.
My name is Nick. I'm Cineprov. And we have a Patreon for both us at Myopia and for Cineprov. So if you want some riffs, you want to sponsor us, we'll keep doing what we do. In the meantime, around the horn, we've got
Atlanta author Matthew W. Quinn. I do not have a Patreon. Just go to Amazon and buy my books. Keep me off the streets.
That's right. His OnlyFans failed.
Noor Chernet. Nick, can you actually do me a favor and link my OnlyFans to this afterwards?
Sure,
you know, just kind of keep the lights on.
America's unemployment insurance, OnlyFans.
There we go.
Gosh, I feel left out. Am I the only person here without an OnlyFans account? My goodness. Well, this is Candace. I'm also one of the riffers at Cineprop, and I'm currently wearing a hood that looks like I'm Emperor Palpatine.
It's cold. I got you. I swear.
I got
it's
you.
It's because you have two fans on.
And then you do fire.
So many fans. And they're going fast.
Does my head look weird with this Palpatine?
No, ma'am. Listen, we look like we're part of the Jesuits now. Do you have a hood, Matt? Can
no.
you match us?
No, but oh. I can mimic Palpatine's voice.
Okay, let's hear it.
Everything is proceeding according to my design.
That's actually pretty good. That was much better than the earlier William Dafoe.
We're still wearing hoods.
The dark side contains a path to many abilities, some considered to be unnatural.
Dude.
It's true.
I mean, like lightsaber shit. Yeah. Some severe... We are talking about Hellboy 2.
And I'm going to talk in my Palpatine voice. During this Hellboy production.
That's what this movie was missing.
Come to the dark side.
I mean, it's not like an actor was doing much right now.
We have cookies.
Just laying low, waiting for that next trilogy.
I'll
come back in 2020.
I was hooked up to a machine.
Oh my god.
Exegol.
That was such a shitty ending, man. If you're not going to go the full, like, I almost said Thanos series, Thrawn series... don't give any little bit of it.
I have a picture of me sitting on Timothy Zahn's lap.
Oh, that's nice.
I know.
At the cheetah, or?
No, I'm the only fan. No, yeah, at a convention, I ran into him. He's a delight in every way. But let's get back to what we're doing.
Thanks.
Hellboy.
Let's.
Yeah.
All right. Who wants to do plot?
I'll do the plot.
Oh, God.
Do it in this voice of yours.
In the voice.
There's an elf prince, who's got a real problem with mankind.
We're 8 words in.
And my nipples are so hard.
And he's going to create an army of steampunk robots.
And this is really hurting my throat, so I have to stop now.
Okay.
And it's kind of an ecological theme because humans are destroying the earth because they're greedy.
Okay.
And meanwhile, there's some domestic drama at the BRPD because Liz is pregnant.
What?
Say what?
Say what?
That's a Maury Povich type shit right there, man.
It is. Yeah.
Well, they know who the father is, though, so it's not Maury Povich.
Do we know? Do we know?
I mean, until they come out little red babies, we don't know.
Watch them come out little blue
gills.
Babies.
Gills. Yeah. Like, why's this baby got fucking gills?
Wasn't me.
They're perfectly normal, and you see, like, Myers in Antarctica, like, hiding under his desk.
It's like, shit. Yeah.
So, at this point, we did the first one, like, 3 seasons ago. And I will say, they kind of upped this in every way. The one thing we need to talk about is the littlest Hellboy. Like, he starts out as, like, an acne-ridden teen kid, like, walking around, like, Dad, tell me this story. And you're just like, what now?
And I appreciated that because it was like a cut from the Princess Bride. The grandfather
was
telling the story. Dan like, yeah, Savage with horns.
Right.
Fred Savage, whatever his name is.
Fred Savage. Mm-hmm. Is it Ben?
No, it's Fred.
It's Fred.
Dan Savage is a columnist for a freaky very paper outlast.
Who's yeah. Ben Savage then? Oh, that's the dude from Boy Meets World. Never mind. Sorry, I mixed up the two. But yeah, it starts off with the whole little telling the story about the steampunk rock. Our Golden Army, and then it kind of cuts back to present day or 2008 when this movie came out?
No, it's literally yeah. just present day because this movie feels like it has no time or place at any point. Like, because
yeah.
half the people are like dressed like they're in Game of Thrones, and the other half
are in Men in Black.
Right. Well, I mean, but like, I will say, Candace pointed this out, all the humor comes from Men in Black rip scenes, and mm-hmm. like, it's very silly. Like, they're just. There's just CGI nonsense going around, and it's phenomenal. So, I mean, we can kind of walk through this a little bit. Littlest Hellboy wants to hear the story of the Golden Army. Because, like, when we were teenagers, we still wanted our dad to read to us while we were brushing our teeth or whatever's going on.
He's a teenager, like he's 10.
He's a little kid, yeah.
Okay, the Littlest Hellboy. So, what is this Golden Army nonsense?
I mean, to be fair, he could have been like in his mid-20s. I don't think Hellboy ages in the same way, because if he was watching Howdy Doody, that means he would have been a child in the 1950s.
Yeah.
Which is when we saw that, and then him been 50 years later, and he's only like his mid-20s, 30s, you know?
Cradle-robbing Lewis Sherman.
I mean, who wouldn't, though, right? Fucking Selma Blair. God
Selma
damn.
Blair, yeah.
Selma Blair.
Yes.
Mm. Cruel Intentions.
Secret Society. Stay tuned. Secret
you
Society.
Cruel
yeah, so.
Oh my God.
The Golden
yes.
Army was an elf super weapon to stop humans from destroying the world, but the Elf King felt so bad that he used it that he shut
it down.
And
then he gave one of the yes. rings to the lords of the Highland, and 8 to the humans, and 9 to the trolls.
I think that's right.
Different.
But it's the same thing!
Yeah, it's the same thing.
So he broke the crown into 3 pieces, and he gave 1 to the humans, and mm-hmm. 2 he kept for himself.
Yeah.
Which means he kept 1 for himself and 1 for his emo pacifist daughter. And let emo but not pacifist brother got all huffy and went off into exile.
And this whole movie is some nonsense because Abe Sapien's about to get it dry, and like, so his girlfriend has to inevitably die, right?
Mm-hmm.
Also, I thought it was funny that I said he was going to have to get it dry because he's wet all the time because he's a fishman.
We get
oh,
it.
Okay, I get it.
This is a tragic version
you know,
of
you know
Shape
what's
of
really
water.
Funny when you have to explain it. That makes it extra funny.
Yeah, this is
that's what all the reviewers on iTunes said.
Yeah, this is the tragic version of The Shape of Water,
which would come out in like 5 years. Oh, Doug Jones. He's good in that.
No.
He's good in everything. He's Doug Jones.
What's the name of the guy who plays Niles on Frasier? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
David Hyde Pierce.
Yeah.
David Hyde Pierce is the voice of Abe Sapien. But in the credit, only gives Doug Jones credit because they were originally going to only list David Hyde Pierce. He's like, no, I'm not doing anything. I'm just reading in a room somewhere. So he goes uncredited, and it's actually Doug Jones.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a good little story. What I think I want to talk about the most is how this movie, like, looks. It's really weird. I mean, it's classic Guillermo del Toro. Like, there's eyes on shit that shouldn't have eyes. At one point, this facehugger thing goes and, like, grabs this creepy dude at an art auction at a museum. And then it sucks his eyeball out and comes out where his mouth is supposed to be, blinks 3 times, and he drops dead. Like, it's got your Guillermo body horror, but everything in this movie looks like it's filmed on soundstage.
Yeah, this is a proto-Pan's Labyrinth with some of the critters we see.
It's cool. It's very cool. And we have the angel lady who looks like she's out of a bad Doom game. But my point is, nothing in this world feels like it's bigger than this room. Right? Even when they're out on the street, you can practically see where the light effects are, like the Universal Studio ride. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe even...
I'm okay with that, though. There's something very, I don't know, endearing about... I like the look of this film. I like the fact that it looks like I'm inside the Mexican Rio Temple at Epcot. That's exactly what that shopping area that they were walking through looked like. I was waiting for the boat ride to come by.
Yeah, the Troll City?
you talking about?
Yeah, when they went to the Troll City Market, yeah.
Or if you watch Disenchantment, it looks like where the elves live now.
Yeah. Oh, I got your elfo joke when we were watching that. I was like, oh yeah, you're not wrong.
But I mean, like, all of this is also kind of half, like, greasy, grimy, Fraggle Rock-ish kind of, too. Like, it looks like no other movie, just like Guillermo del Toro in general. Like, the second he touches something, it's definitely his movie.
Yeah.
I will say this. If this movie came out maybe a year later than when it was released, or a year prior, I think we would have gotten a sequel to this movie rather than the remake that came out this past year. You know what I'm saying?
I 100% agree, because it isn't that this movie was bad. This was a good movie. It's that the problem is that it came out in a year with like a million other great movies. So, like, perfect example, I'm listening to music. I'm like, oh, it's cool music. I mean, it's by Danny Elfman. I'm like, wow, it feels like Hans Zimmer would have done this, but he was busy doing The Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. And also, you know what I mean? And then it's like, and then you had like Iron Man came out the same year, and I'm just like, oh, this movie never had a motherfucking chance.
This was better than the original, I thought. Like, it was more thoughtful.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, another movie that feels like it that came out this year is The Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian. Like, again, it's sci-fi fantasy, like fighting against armies of generic CGI evil.
Which look like B2 droids from Star Wars, Clone Wars.
Which is why
we were talking about Star Trek earlier. Listen, you can love the wars and the Trek. All stars are valid.
My Palpatine says so.
But this is also the year Hancock came out, that Will Smith fighting movie.
Yeah.
And his powers are almost the same as Hellboy.
Drinks.
He does. He drinks like hell. Kung Fu Panda and Indiana Jones 4.
Yeah, you got
the Crystal Skull one?
Yeah, that came out this year, too.
That fucking Shia LaBeouf's in that.
I actually liked
Shia LaBeouf. You're walking through the woods. You hear something behind you.
It's Shia LaBeouf. My apprentice.
I want the whole Shia LaBeouf song, but I want it spoken song word by Palpatine. We'll do that later. That could be a
Patreon
special
prize.
Exactly.
Cloverfield came out this year too. Jesus Christ.
Oh, that was. See, I don't like.
Is that a stay tuned? I like Cloverfield.
Yeah.
I mean, I do.
I liked the second Cloverfield better, the one with Cloverfield Lane.
The one with the John Goodman.
Yes, that was scary as shit,
it is,
dude.
It very much like the Bill Larson movie, The Room.
Yeah, I felt completely terrified by that.
Was the third one any good? I know there was like.
It was on Netflix or something.
It was a Netflix series and stuff. Yeah, because it all intertwines. I think the third, it goes 3-2-1 as far as the linears go. But
yeah, you should check it out. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right. I mean, anyway, it's not to say anything. It's just that this feels more 2008 or less 2008 than a lot of those other ones because of how the CGI is used here. Like the original CGI, like when we were introduced to the Golden Army, it's a really cheesy and blocky, feelingly on purpose in some ways.
Yeah.
But like when you watch like some of those other movies I mentioned, like the CGI, like Prince Caspian, like that's clearly just a Lord of the Rings ripoff. You have like armies, you fly over hillsides. They keep that small here, which I think helps.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And you can tell even with the fight scenes between the henchman Mr. Wick and Hellboy himself, like if this was made today, that 100% would have been CGI. But I think since you got to speak to how it was back then, and Del Toro as a director, he just tried to keep it as real as possible, which is kind of what Peter Jackson did in the first series of Lord of the Rings with all the orcs. You know, each orc was individually made. And even from the troll scene, which you mentioned, like when I was watching it this time around, there was things I didn't pick up when I remember just more of an artistic, more of an expression. So, yeah.
Well, and that does feel like you cop out when you have a robotic army and everything can be the same. But otherwise, like we were saying watching this, the one place where Guillermo shines and all this shit is character design. Every character is distinct, and like that's something else that I didn't watch the Harbor one, I will admit, but watching the trailer, everything just looks like the same CGI nonsense as in everything else. And then Hellboy, and David Harbour does a good job, they should like him help, but like, all these characters in this are well-defined. Even Father, John Hurt, who's just a dude, has a look, man. Like, it's kind of neat. There's nothing to this plot.
To quote the almighty TV tropes, it's the magic goes away. You know, the last bits of the elves and trolls and whatnot are being commercialized and developed. like the Elf King's court is under like a area zone for a supermarket.
Yeah, and he's, you know, becomes the Lorax and wants to retake the thing because he speaks for the planet. And
yeah, the real most incredibly violent Lorax ever.
It's pretty good. I mean, Danny DeVito is pretty violent in that new one. Like, you remember the orgy scene, right?
In the Lorax? With the trees?
I was just trying to get someone to respond.
Yeah, this is just nonsense. Yeah, they've been watching The Evil Dead and they decided to get creative with the trees.
So, I just looked it up because I was curious who the voice for Johann Krauss, who comes in as a new character from the... He wasn't in the first movie. He comes in the second movie to keep an eye on Hellboy and try to keep him in line. Because since Father has been gone, no one has been able to keep Hellboy under the wraps.
Yeah, and he's been signing autographs.
He's signing autographs, taking photos. Like he wants his presence known because he, much like me, can only live... if he has plenty of applause. And so...
Well, we got to talk about the movie, the scenes before Klaus got introduced, because there was the whole the museum scene with the little tooth fairy
That's right.
Dude, they eat people from the teeth out.
Prince...
calcium. They need it.
There we go. Elf Prince and his muscle show up to take the third of the crown from the auction house, and they do that by loosing like a bazillion little bitey critters.
Yes. Yep. Those bitey critters were upsetting to many members of the group here, because it was like that grinding teeth sound, like when you're at the dentist. Apparently, there's also some deep psychological thing about like the thought of pulling out or grinding your teeth.
Pulling out what now?
Sorry, pulling what? Out or grinding teeth, oh. Teeth psychologically.
Teeth, okay.
Teeth, yeah. That's supposed to upset people and make them question their self-worth. I looked it up while we were watching the film.
With teeth? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is it safe? Yeah, no. It's very visceral. Like he opens up the thing, and then you get a swarm of creatures. By the way, this is though where the CGI looks terrible, because like in the background you have like a swarm effect, but there's only like so few that they're just shooting them out of the sky. It's they can't agree on how many of these things are supposed to be around. Yeah. Well, it looks weird.
Well, they do agree on how they all get terminated, which is Selma Blair's character just basically, you know, just
it's fucking Phoenix is
Phoenix in and out, and Hellboy gets out of the scene, and mm-hmm. Public knows his face.
Yeah, because he gets a Hans Gruber treatment, and that's he what does. Nick said. Yep.
On purpose. She mm-hmm. told him to get away from the window. He didn't listen.
Intentionally,
because, and this is what makes her mad, because she's questioning what is more important to him, the fame and people knowing his existence, or their relationship.
He also has a second later when everyone knows him, when they call him ugly, and he's like, oh.
Yeah,
it's the X-Men problem, the absolutely ungrateful humankind.
Yeah, it's called the, if you've ever had any kind of social media presence problem.
Yeah.
So, never read the comments.
Mm-hmm. So, Klaus.
Yeah, so Jeffrey Tambor, they've lost faith in his ability to actually control Hellboy.
And so instead they bring a new person in, and I was like, hold on, who's doing that voice? It's Seth MacFarlane.
That's the one. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, it's really? Family
I was like, I feel like I know this voice. I was like, what is this voice? I was like, obviously it's not someone who's actually German in any way, because it's way too put on.
Yeah.
I was like, it's really strange. I was like, it's got to be an American actor. I'm like, who is it? And... Seth MacFarlane.
Do you think they asked Christoph Waltz and he just said no?
God, I wish.
That would have been cool.
That would have been cool. He's the shit.
Oh, I love him to death. But I just like, I think at that point he'd been nominated for Academy Award or whatever, and he's like, you want me to what?
Yeah.
No.
I think they wanted a voice actor.
I wonder,
give me a truckload of money.
I wonder what year Inglourious Bastards came out.
I don't know.
Put that shit up.
Yeah, so
the next year.
Oh, okay, so he was busy. He was busy filming.
Incredible.
Being amazing.
He is so good at that movie.
Wait for the creme.
Now, you know you can take that uniform off.
That's right.
And then no one will know you're a Nazi.
God, that's such a good movie.
It's so much fun.
I saw that at the Plaza like 6 times.
Nothing's
creepier than watching a theater being burned to the ground while you were in a historic theater, by the way.
And you're laughing your ass off.
Yeah, and you're like, I think we have some of that film backstage. That's right.
It's absolutely just laying around next to the furnace. Oh, no, we're all doomed. All right. I will say, I like that movie a lot. It needs to be 20 minutes shorter. It is 2.5 hours long.
2.5 glorious minutes.
Uh-huh. So this may be out of order, but in regards to
the movie. That's alright. There's nothing to this movie. Yeah, you're
but
fine.
No, the one thing I found was really weird from the Elvis twins. So obviously, I think what was the older brother's name?
It's the same name with the different consonant in the middle. It's like Nadwa and Nalwa.
Nwala.
So I think he's trying to get the second piece of this crown that controls the Golden Army.
Yeah,
and he goes. He does the Oedipus thing and kills his father. Yeah. But then we find out that him and his twin sister connect with, like, if he gets hurt, she gets hurt, or that sort of thing, which comes to bite them both in the ass.
That's really problematic.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, what if she, you know, coitus, can he feel it too, or is it just all pain receptors?
You know, I was wanting to know that when Hellboy was choking him, I was like, I want her to be like, I wanted her to react.
I don't know. That might have been outside of her acting range.
Oh no, that'd have been hot though. Because I wanted to know. I was like, but they never really addressed that.
Oh
so.
My!
I don't know.
And then after he kills his father, he turns into bone.
Something cement? Like that.
He looks like kind of vaguely marble-ish
kind of
it's
thing.
It's like a Pieta, but
ivory.
Cheaper.
Yeah,
ivory. That might be. Because it's like the Pieta, but it's cheaper.
Yeah.
But it looks beautiful when he
it
does.
Is beautiful.
He looks like a statue. You know. The sister dies because she has the last piece of the puzzle, and then she escapes to the troll city.
That's right, and she's being hunted by Wink.
Wink.
The tiniest name for the largest monster.
Yeah, Prince Nuada's muscle, basically.
Yeah, and he has a hand that shoots out, and it's on a chain. And my question is, was it built that way? Was he born that way? I feel like he wasn't born that way, so the chain should be able to come off. But I digress.
I mean, that's going to be his
because I'm doing.
Yes.
It's like the big Indian henchman in Temple of Doom who gets pulled into the grinder.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, Robusto. Huh. Raiders, when that guy gets hit with a crane propeller. What's up?
I said he gets put in the grinder, too.
Yes.
Mr. Wink.
Yes.
You put in the grinder. Sorry.
Everybody gets put in the grinder.
By the way, it's like...
Sorry, it's a good burger reference.
I know, I'm a dude.
This movie is a whiff away from being an R-rated. Like, they just keep coming away right before something horrifying is happening.
That's
like,
true.
And again, like, this movie's fine, no complaints here, but an unrated cut of this would be insane, because you're having a giant, like, bloody monster man fighting and gets sucked through, like, he gets Fargoed at the end of this piece of shit. Like,
he does.
But then again, he's also fighting, like, you know, the, like, plant monster from Moana at one point.
Oh, dude.
You know?
Yeah, whatever.
And then he tries to make Hellboy feel bad, and he's like, you know, this is the last of its kind, just like you. Are you gonna kill it for humanity? And Hellboy's like, well, I guess I will. So he does. And then, of course, humans don't fucking appreciate it, because have you met humans? They're the fucking worst.
They're the worst.
They are horrible. And
like, he saves a baby, and they assume he's doing something bad to the baby.
It's true, he does save a baby.
Like, did they not see that he just defeated this fucking James and John Peach type creature?
Well, if you've seen Civil Iron Man Civil War, you can see just how incredibly idiotic people can be.
That's very true.
And this is the same year as Iron Man. This could have used some crazy Jeff Bridges. Also, a movie about people wearing metal suits.
He made it under a chopping mall in a box of ivory.
Ruining the best.
In a cave! Out of scraps!
The one thing I love about Jeff Bridges, it's like, he does, in all his movies, when he's like next to someone, he does that reach around. Through the shoulder.
He's
not
a bear of a man. Like, yeah.
Yeah, and no, I appreciate it. But we got to talk about Doug Jones.
Yeah.
Character just falling.
Fishman. Abe Fishman.
Just trying to get his metaphorical fish dick wet with...
Dude. I love how they meet each other and they're using, like...
Hands.
Telekinesis, Kyle. They are feeling each other's hands up. And he goes, my name is Abe Sapien. And she, like, I don't believe you. She reads his thoughts. And she goes, your name really is? Oh, no, I'm sorry. And
what?
You're just like...
They do a fucking Vulcan mind meld.
And he admits it's a stupid name. He goes, I know, it's terrible. Just
think,
like, ooh.
That kind of reminds me of that scene from Demolition Man where they have sex through the helmets
and
shit.
The VR sex.
The VR sex, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's coming sooner than you guys think.
Demolition.
This is coming soon. Demolition Man. Demolition Man. Patreon next month. So
they should do a remake of that.
They have Wesley Snipes.
They should bring back Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes, doesn't he owe a lot of money in taxes?
No, he's already gone to jail and back.
No, he's good. He's good.
They put him in jail for a couple years, buddy. But he's back.
Yep.
And he's still awesome. And he should be. By the way, remake Karate Kid with him as Miyagi. Like, he's the old karate master training someone new.
Yo.
And, like, you they're not going to remake it because he was terrible, but that's when you bring Jaden Smith in. When your old karate master is Wesley Snipes, and, like, some kids are picking on him, and...
Because he's a legit, like, kung fu type of master.
Dude, he is fucking badass. And apparently when they were doing Blade, which we did an episode on Blade 3 already... he would move too fast, so he'd have to slow down moves so that the film would film it properly. Yeah. That's fucking badass. Yeah. Anyway, he's not in this movie.
He should be.
He's not.
He should be. Better movie.
Yeah.
But one of the vampires from Blade was in Defiance, and the people in Defiance have that weird, pale, long hair albino look. So
These are extras from The Matrix.
Yeah. Well, these are, like the twin assassins from The Matrix, but... These are like elves, but they're super pale and have these red eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so Candace is the one who discovered the theme of this week is apparently just twins.
It's just twins.
Well, the boy twin, the actor, his name is Luke Goss.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was also the main villain from Blade 2.
Oh, there you go, yes.
Because Guillermo del Toro directed both those movies, Blade 2 and Hellboy, so he can...
Just like Tim Burton, he has a whole portfolio of very pale people that will work in your movie. Guillermo. By the way, and I mentioned this when we were watching this, Google Guillermo del Toro's house. Fangoria did a cover story where they went through his house and he's got all this memorabilia just lying around. It's awesome. Fucking great. Guillermo del Toro seems like a good dude.
Yeah, he seems fun. Now, I did see that you were taking notes during the film.
It dawned on me.
So, what you got over there?
I'll just read you from it was not a lot, so okay. I'll just read the spark notes.
It's because obviously you were overwhelmed with how wonderful
so
this film
was. It starts off with the Princess Bride drop off. Let's see. Toothbrush motherfuckers eating people from the inside out.
Yep.
Tooth fairy, sorry.
Yep,
home pregnancy tests when Doug Jones' character touched the Selma Blair's tummy.
Yep.
Oh, dude, and it was awkward. It was like, you're pregnant! Yeah, he's like reading her tummy, and you're just like, can you ask first? Like, where's the consent in all of this?
I thought he did it by accident. Like, he was trying to read something else.
He did it by accident.
And then she took, 18 pregnancy tests to justify
that is a scene out of a Friends episode. Mm. Like, that's just like, oh, no, we got to keep peeing on shit.
That is a scene out of every woman's bathroom who has ever not wanted to be pregnant.
There's a drawer somewhere.
There's some hoes that are like, and then you call your friend over, and you gotta console your fucking friend. Like, it's
exhausting.
And you're exhausting.
Like, am I peeing properly? Because this ain't working right.
Yeah, yeah. Then you get the friend to pee on it to make sure that they're not getting the same thing, that it's not like a defective batch.
And they find out they're pregnant, and then they're like,
I've never been pregnant, thank God, but I've been the friend that's been called, so I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she and Hellboy are having marital problems because he doesn't clean up after himself.
He doesn't, and he has too many cats.
And she put her toothbrush in the thing of cat food. You take a drink.
Oh, that's so gross. When she pulls it out,
she's
just
like,
covered
come
in chunky
on,
gravy.
Man. Yeah. But the last note I have.
Oh, no, stop.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
That means he doesn't brush his teeth, right? Because he's like, this is where she brushes
his teeth. That's a kid.
Yeah, but not since. If you're doing that to her toothbrush, and you're like, girl, I want to make out with a cat, and you're just like, that's a whole other level of shit that's going on in Hellboy's life.
That is true. But he seems clean for a devil.
Well, the devil's in the details, girl.
There we go.
Alright.
But no, my
that means literally nothing in that. I'm sorry, I'm done.
No, my last note, because that's when I felt like the movie was kind of... Like, I just wanted to watch it, not take notes, was when Mr. Klaus showed up, and he was like, this is every college boy's dream, just to have a hotbox suit. And that's when I stopped taking notes, but when it wasn't the same suit.
The man smoked too much weed decades ago, and he became weed.
Dude, at one point, like, his skull cracks, and just, like, smoke goes away,
just comes
and he goes
up.
Limp. And he goes, I was like, you all right down there, buddy? Kicks him, like, you're like... That's weird. I didn't get... I thought he was, like, a steam-powered automaton. Like, right. I wasn't paying attention. And then when it's a fucking ghost, I'm like... Oh, dude, he possesses...
That's why he's a specialist in ectoplasm.
He possesses lockers and just bashes Hellboy into bits.
It's great. That's adorable. It's very Scooby-Doo-esque. Very, like, you know, Ghostbusters 1 in the library with, like, fucking, you know, the card thing, like, flipping in and out, like, different ones going up and down. So I was like, okay, that's cute. I'll play this game.
Yeah. So I guess sometimes within the movie, I think the lady twin, ends up coming back to the base, and Doug Jones' character is falling in love with her.
Like, obviously.
Just listening to love songs and things like that.
Oh, he and Hellboy get so obliterated.
Drunk off beer. Oh. We've all been there. Yeah. We've all drank our feelings.
But Hellboy's being a bro here. Like, yep. It's a cool scene because Ron Perlman at this point is pissed off at Manning, and so he's kind of... He's getting good at end-of-work-day drunk. Right, like that's what's going on here. And he hears his buddy trying to like listen to pop music and he comes in and it's like, oh no, this is Vivaldi, and he goes, really, what the fuck are you playing? And he's trying to find the words for his girlfriend. I teach it in high school. Like, this is what ninth graders do when they're about to ask a girl to homecoming. Mm. It's very cute, right? And Helma's like, buddy, you need this beer, trust me. You need it bad. It's cute.
They're cute. I mean, my song particularly is Katy Perry's Roar, whenever I want to feel motivated.
Is that your empowerment song?
It is my empowerment. I listen to that song before any interview, when I feel sad, because it kind of just gives you more of a, you know,
to
it, you know?
I feel that. Matt, what would you say is your Katy Perry Roar song?
Empowerment?
Yeah.
What do you feel empowered for?
Probably something scary and metallic.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Firework works for me, too.
Firework works, yeah.
Yeah, Firework will work.
Roar, it works the abdomen.
Oh, no, I get you.
It's just like... Firework, and what's yours?
I'll go with... I have a lot of them, but I'll say a good, easy, generic one that is quick is Wrecking Ball.
Wrecking Ball's good.
Yeah, because you can do that for anything. You can be pissed about something. You can be happy about something. You can do everything to it. It's true. Well, they're not wrong.
And it's got the one thing those songs need, which is something that is screamed at the top of your lungs, right? Because you hold out Wrecking Ball almost as long as you want, unless you're listening to it, right? Because it's just you belt it. I get it. It works.
And then old twin shows up at the Area 51 base.
Yeah, because meanwhile, Abe and Hellboy are like both sitting beside Liz's bed getting wasted, and I think Abe is trying to get Liz to tell Hellboy, and Liz is not having it, and then the whole issue gets interrupted by evil twin showing up.
That's right.
Which, okay, I had a problem with that scene when he came down or whatever.
Okay.
Like, they act like this was a high school fight. Everyone's just around this dude. No one's attacking him. No, besides like Hellboy, right? So he comes in, tries just to kill. No one's doing anything. They're just letting this dude just do whatever he wants.
I think they knew about if they killed him, they would kill the princess too.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
So maybe that's why they don't just shoot him.
Okay, you know what? That makes sense. Yeah.
Because Abe is yelling at everyone.
That's true. And Abe got made fun of. This is the part I actually did notes then. He got made fun of his breathing apparatus. And Jimmy Kimmel told him he looked like a toilet. And then he switched to the whole little contact thing. So that was something that you pointed out that I appreciate. Because I was like, where the fuck happened to his breathing shit? But it was a contact video. Yeah, and then the twins. Hellboy gets stabbed in the heart with this type of.
It's like the Spear of Destiny or some nonsense.
Right,
like,
right.
It's a scene out of the Jet Li movie Hero. Like, there's this.
It's like the metal pieces in Iron Man that are going towards his heart. The same.
Oh my god! Dude, that was like a meme. It's like just like holy shit.
I've been waiting to say that this whole time. I was thinking it during the movie, but I was like, say nothing. Wait till we're recording.
If we try to remove it, it's moving closer to his heart. God damn it. You think, like, Guillermo del Toro and Johnny Favs were just, like, sitting in a bar one day? He's like, what if the heart was the metaphor? Like, Guillermo. And he's like, my goodness. No, he's a Mexican guy, right?
Yeah.
Spanish, yeah.
Yeah. That's good. I was going to do...
Corazon.
Huh?
It means heart.
It does. I just rebooted. Hi, how are you?
You're welcome.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he has to find a healer. And at this point, we get the most Guillermo del Toro scene, where a faceless angel woman who has eyes all over her wings heals him for a price. Because Selma Blair is told, you know, do you want to save him? Because his destiny is to destroy all of humanity. And she goes, I do. And he's like, that dick must be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, he's like, he, she, it, the seraphim, whatever that precisely is like, you will suffer the worst of all. And she's like, I'll deal with it.
Yep.
Yeah.
If I were the angel, I'd be like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then he gets back to life.
And then she's like, the angel chick, I think the thing is female, at least the voice is.
Yeah.
Well, it's both. There are two people speaking. That's why it sounds so weird.
And the seraphim tells her, give him reason to live. And that's when she reveals to Hellboy that she's pregnant.
I am father.
I am father.
That is the line.
I am now father. And I'm like,
I feel like you got hit in the head really hard. And that's like,
you can use articles you did before.
If I found out my significant other is like pregnant with kids, I'm like, I am father. just.
I have become that.
I'm father.
Let's just say maybe the elf lord rung his bell a couple times too much.
That's true.
He was dead and he came back to life.
That's because the father is not just what he called his father. Father is a title for him.
Yeah, it's an honorary.
It's supposed to represent leadership and what. That's why when his father dies, he doesn't respect anyone else because they are not father.
That's right. Subtle.
You dropping gems. I didn't realize this.
I feel like they try to put a lot of deep shit in it. Sometimes it catches. Sometimes it doesn't really work out.
Yeah.
I got what they were going for.
I mean, this is better than the first one. The first one, I just remember, bad CGI airplanes.
I like the first one, too, though. Like, I will say that I agree with you, Matt, though. This one, I think, is better than the first one. But I do like them both very much.
I like Selma's character better in the first one. In this one, she's just like, I'm a girl and I'm pregnant. And I'm like, oh, God, fucking worst.
I mean, they do give her kind of the Mila Jovovich kind of badass woman in a sci-fi movie thing. She does flame around. She does shoot shit.
Yeah. She does it better, though, in the first one.
Oh, I mean, I don't disagree. It also
and
might
she's
be
emo-y in the first one, too, which is great.
I mean, it also might just be proximity, because I just finished watching this one, and it's fun as hell.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
I should dust off the other one. I haven't seen her in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's put this together. The seraphim or whatever, like, is dusting on the ground, and you know we have this scene. Seraphim disappears, leaving behind. I mean, we haven't really talked about this dude.
Yeah,
but
the
Trollman is awesome.
The gimp goblin.
He's like a torso on a cart thing, and he's scooting around like this is very Creature Lab like Henson Factory kind of stuff. It's really cool looking.
Yeah, and you find out that he essentially is the Ognot who created all of these, the Golden Army, and he blew his legs off in the course of creating them. So that's why he is able to provide the exposition to tell you all about how many there are and how they work and yada, yada, yada.
70 times 70.
Yeah. Right.
I will say this is, I didn't notice until it happened. So he's leading him to the crown, to the king, the prince, whatever. And he's walking them too. And he's like, this is as far as I'll go. There's fucking stairs.
He literally can't go any further because of stairs. I don't do stairs. They come to the end and he goes, this is as far as I go. And then they pan back and they show the stairs and you're like, oh, I get it. That's funny. And,
like, he literally can't go any
further. Like,
They didn't have the Americans with Disabilities Act in medieval Ireland.
Well, and of course it's sci-fi, so there's no hand railings on anything. It's the one requirement. That's how you can tell it's sci-fi. The second Oster shows up, no, it's not sci-fi anymore.
Yeah,
it's
true.
That's right.
And then like any other comic book movie, it ends with a big CGI fight.
You have to learn that we're in a society. Mm-hmm. And then, sorry, I'm done. That's stupid fucking trailer.
Abe Sapien basically gives Nuada the piece of the crown when he wasn't supposed to, and Hellboy's like, when we're done, we're going to have a talk.
That's right.
And the Golden
Army. Trying to get it dry, and it just screws up everything.
And the Golden Army is reactivated.
Yes. And the only way to stop the Golden Army is for Hellboy to essentially, you know, say that a vote of non-confidence, if you will, and say that he challenges him for the crown, of which he is allowed to do because he, too, is of royal birth, since he is the son of the devil.
Son of a Satan. Yeah, that's kind of that's kind of foreshadowing that that, and then when he gets all his hands in the crown, he's like, you know, that's probably why Liz gets a little squirrely, because the angel had just prophesied that bad stuff was going to happen.
True, true. Yeah. Oh, okay.
So yeah. I'm claiming my birthright as a king of hell.
Yeah, it's like, no, let me have that.
Oh.
I'll put that away. And then she smelts it right then and there.
Smelts it. I'm going to just
smelt this down.
So. See, that's why I'm going to
I'll go limp then.
I wanted to see a third movie just to see if, like, that prophecy or whatever comes into light.
Well, it's a thing we get in the first
they
one.
They did that in the first one.
Where, yeah. Where, like, he's, like, the king of hell, like, the horns grow out, he gets extra goat leggy in the back, and like, it's really intense for... It's like when Biff gets the book in Back to the Future 2, which is what I imagine all evil looked like
true.
In the 1980s.
Wow.
It's 2020.
He's 2021, isn't he?
It's
2021 that he gets goes to for when Biff.
It is.
We're living.
Whatever.
What?
Just like. Well, that was 2015.
30
years after 1985 is 2015.
You're right.
We're about to research this.
Yeah. So he Hellboy throws down with Prince Nuada, who's like half his size but twice as fast.
True.
And I mean, we get a good old fashioned fight. Like, this movie is 2 hours and it's probably 45 minutes of fight scenes. Some go a skosh too long.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's pretty tight. I mean, and this is also you want to talk about again your gear shift. You've got Chris Nolan movies, which is all exposition and like two fight scenes, right? You get this, which is kind of what early. Well, I guess let me put this. Late stage 2000s comic book movies look like, and then Iron Man, which starts the Marvel movies, right? Like, all three are the same year, and you couldn't have three more different comic book movies that also kind of feel like they are all super duper comic book movies, right? Like, it's kind of almost interesting, but it's not, because that's not what this podcast is. But it is kind of like this is such an interesting capsule of this director, this style of movie making, and the first major wave of the comic book movie since the 1980s, right? Like, it's neat. And now, of course, Marvel movies feel completely different, much more saccharine. And they're good. I like them. Not complaining. But Hellboy is, like, fucking tearing people apart in this movie for a PG-13 movie.
But he won't let that woman eat the cat.
She won't let the troll eat the
cat. That's a weird fucking scene. Like, she starts to, like, Guillermo out there for a second and, like... Unhinging her jaw, her eyes bug all huge. Like, it's something.
It's like the strain that she was involved in, too.
Right.
Well, I will... It's a theory. If Iron Man wasn't as successful as it would have been, do you think we would have gotten the third... Because they're both Marvel properties, so if I'm not mistaken, right?
Right.
And I'm wondering what... They're at the board of, like, what are we going to do? I'm wondering if that kind of, like, dictated... The fate of this movie, essentially.
I will say,
is Hellboy a Marvel thing? I thought it was Image.
No, it's Dark Horse. No, Image. It is Dark.
I thought maybe it is Dark. Oh, somebody's got to look it up.
But what I was going to say is, that's not the problem. The problem is it came out this specific year.
Yeah.
So it didn't make as much money as it could have. It broke even, effectively. Mm-hmm. Like, the budget was high. It made money, but after advertising, it didn't make very much. So, what are you going to do? Like, Dark Knight made $1 billion, Iron Man made $800 million, and this made 130. Like,
yeah.
If you're putting money into comic book movies, it's Marvel.
It made 70 by 70.
That's right. It made $12 at the multiplex because I bought that ticket. Like,
but I saw it in theaters when it came out.
I did too. It was fun.
So it made at least 36.
This was my first year teaching at Oak Mountain.
I think I snuck into this movie.
Did you really?
So you could have made 48.
That's right.
But
were you at Dark Knight and you're just like, I need to see Ron Perlman?
Yeah, I probably was actually.
When Hellboy first came out, I mixed up Ron Perlman with Will Ferrell. Because they had...
Different movie.
Yeah, because I was telling people, like, yeah, Hellboy's Will Ferrell. Because I just saw the behind the scene and I saw... Because they have similar head shape, hair color.
Giant heads.
Yeah. Imagine Horned Demon. Liz, the meatloaf.
It's because they're both physical actors.
I would say, yeah.
And they use their not classically, like, you know, masculine physique. I mean, they look like average dudes.
Well,
but people love them for that.
Well, my mom talks about Ron Perlman, says he has a great voice but isn't very attractive, so that's why he's always like the Beauty and the Beast or Hellboy. He's always masked up or something. Yeah.
Well, dude, he also just has the most distinct head of any human being that has ever lived.
He's got a big ass head. Craggy looking.
That's coming from the guy who has a big ass head.
So it is getting bigger.
He's very craggy looking. His. No.
I mean, he could have been. The movies are done. He's not coming back. He would have made a great Thanos. Like, his head already looks that way.
Yeah.
He could have been the Roger Corman version, but just paint that shit purple and it's done.
Like, you need all that purple monster.
There you go. He's the one eyed, one horned. Wait, that's just a penis. Flying purple people. Oh, my goodness.
Is that a stay tuned?
What?
That one eyed, one horned, flying purple people actually is an actual movie.
Is it a porno?
It's like Grimace if he was a horror movie monster.
No.
Grimace is shaped like a sex toy. We're good.
Oh my.
Shaped like a butt plug. Or a sorry piece.
Talking about Grimace from McDonald's characters?
Well, I think you're tall enough. Yeah. I think it might work.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a cork of some sort.
Something.
Well, you already have someone called the Hamburglar. Like, we're halfway through a porno. I am the male McCheese. Okay.
They actually had a McDonald's series of, like, hamburger and all of them kept. And it was weird. It was.
I don't know what people thought when they tuned into an episode about Hellboy 2, but apparently. This is when one of the ones we were talking about the movie, The Absolute Lead, which is fine.
The Emperor's voice is back, and he says.
God, come on,
the
man.
The dark side says we need to get back to Hellboy.
Dude, you have fried your voice. It is rough. Are you all right? You pull something?
At some point, perhaps.
Yeah, so the way I think the movie ends up is that Hellboy does win in the fight, or he's almost about to win in the fight against the prince, and he's walking away, and the prince is about to stab him from behind when the sister kills herself.
And shows up.
Yeah, exactly. And she kills herself, which, inevitably, because they share the same feelings, much like a dyad. Which Palpatine, you know all about that, of course. Rey and Kylo Ren, and they, so that's the deal. And then he dies, she dies.
Help the alternative.
They live long enough.
It's
she
all
can
sad. Yeah.
They live long enough that she can have one last mind meld with Abe.
That's right.
She can see how he feels for her.
Oh, they fucked. They totally
they
Avatar.
They didn't
fuck.
Stuff.
And then, meanwhile, Nuada lives long enough.
Salaho.
Yeah, that's right.
And meanwhile, Nuada lives long enough to try and convert Hellboy to his cause one last time, saying humans will tire of him and try and kill him.
And he's right.
And he says, you know what, you're right. And so on the way out, he quits his job, and he's just going to live a normal life with Selma Blair, to which she then tells him that he's not only going to be a father, but that she's carrying twins.
Another dyad.
Another set of twins. Because this movie, because tonight's recordings were all about twins.
And then someone trying to stab Daddy right at the end. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, holy shit. Okay.
Because D'Artagnan almost gets stabbed. And
almost gets stabbed.
Almost
gets
stabbed.
He got stabbed. Got stabbed.
10 years later, they remade the Man in the Iron Mask as Hellboy 2.
Man in the Stone Fist.
So many dyads. I'm getting really horny.
Not one horny Palpatine. Thank you very much.
Well, how else do you think I got that granddaughter?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
Troops. No. Science.
Star Wars.
Oh, come on. Force. I'm a man, too. Oh,
I have needs.
No, you're not. No, stop. Oh,
but that was the movie, right?
Yeah.
That was it.
And then the remake.
And that sounds so short, and yet it was so long.
Yeah, they're setting up so much stuff. They set up the possibility of, I haven't read the comics, but I remember seeing someone posting online that the twins are Gog and Magog. Kind of apocalyptic there.
It is.
So it seems like they're setting up, like, Hellboy has gone rogue. There's going to be two maybe human, maybe not babies.
The prophecy
of doom.
I will say that that's what pisses me off about this in some ways, is that whether or not, like, Guillermo wanted to make this, I get the feeling he did. Like, in the script, he clearly was setting up the next movie, and it ends on, not a cliffhanger, but, like, we know she's going to have those kids, and she has powers and he has powers, so we assume that they're going to be powerful in some way. And then I get the feeling, but more than anything, Lionsgate just drug its feet. And Guillermo's like, I'm not going to wait around.
I'm going to go make Pacific Rim because I love fucking robots.
I'm
going to
win an I'm going to win an Academy Award for the sound of, like, Sound of Music.
Shape of Water.
Oh, shit.
The lab is alive.
The smell of
sound of fish sex.
Which is a great film, especially if you like fish sex. but,
So you like fish sticks?
Sorry?
I don't speak English. but yeah, so it's just like, it's a shame that he clearly would have done this, but you're not going to get him back now, right? Like, I wanted to make this movie 13 years ago, asshole, and you said, like, we'll drag our feet.
Hypothetically.
And Sarah Blair's having some health problems, too.
Well, yeah, but
yeah.
She's not 11 years ago when they could have made a sequel.
Here's a hypothetical we could do. Disney is racking up some money, right? They're buying up contracts.
Disney's doing okay?
Disney's
Thank
doing
God.
Pretty
I was
good.
Worried.
I know, right? ABC is doing pretty good. So they, I don't know if the rights of Hellboy, I don't think if they have or not, but if they could do it,
yeah.
They could potentially do it, fuse it into their Marvel Cinematic Universe.
No. First of all,
no.
They're from completely different. I mean, if you go back to the core, these are from very different, like, comic book universes. These are not the same demographic of people who read these books. I mean, if you're going to overlay Hellboy, overlay it with, like, Spawn or something like, you know, one of these Dark Image comics or, like, that kind of shit. Like, I feel like, you know, it'd be like pairing it up with X-Men. It's like, these are not the same worlds.
Well, what I was going to say, I didn't know where you were going, but I figured reboot talk was in the air. I would go back to New Line and do something like Nightmare on Elm Street, like, where it's very grounded, very in a real town, and something creepy's going on. Just lean into the fact that he's a paranormal investigator. Like, that's neat. Like, send him to the poltergeist house. Send him after, like, an undead killer, like a Michael Myers type, and then you have a movie. Like, you don't have to do, like, the world is gonna end, because I get it. That's kind of, we were talking earlier about Birds of Prey. That's why Birds of Prey was great. It's about a fucking MacGuffin. Like, the world isn't about to end. It's just one little mystery. They're trying to get a fucking diamond.
Yeah. So
right?
Just trying to Hellboy, would, like, Jason Voorhees just buries his machete in Hellboy's shoulder, and Hellboy just picks him up and just tears his head off.
Not in some of those later movies where he's an undead
but
fucking
see, people,
tank.
People just don't want the MacGuffin, and people don't want small pieces that make sense. It's the Moffat syndrome.
I know.
Which is where everything has been blown up so big that every single episode and every single movie has to be that you're not saving one person. You're saving an entire galaxy and every planet depends on you. And it's just like, it's so big. It's too big.
Right.
And that's the problem, is that every episode, every movie is like that. And so that's what the level of expectation is by the viewer. And if you don't meet that, they don't think you did a good enough film. Even though the problem is they've crescendoed at the beginning of the piece and they've left no room for growth.
Yeah. I mean, that's as good of a place to leave as any. Like, I thought this movie was totally fine, but anyone? Matt, you want to start?
Well, I liked it. I thought it was better than the first one, so definitely see it, and I guess we can all sit around mourning what could have been.
Yeah.
I guess that's what fanfic is for.
Oh, God, help me.
I'm
that kind.
I really do appreciate the artistic expression of Guillermo del Toro, especially in this CGI-heavy world we live in. You know what I mean? It's kind of hard to find anything that's unique, especially back in 2008, you know. Even though it didn't, you know, pan out to have a sequel to this particular storyline, it was just nice to go back to a movie that is just a simple superhero movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
But yeah.
Kid?
So I thought the movie was too long. I thought it easily could have been trimmed by 30 minutes and it'd been much more enjoyable. I like all things elvish. I'm a big Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, you know, D&D kind of person, so, like, elves are my jam. But I think that they didn't do enough with them. I think that was a wasted plot line, and instead it was too much about the interpersonal relationships of Hellboy and Selma, which I can get off any show. That's not why I'm watching a comic book movie or or this kind of film. I have that same critique though with like in The Hobbit, the love components that are part of that movie. I think that's garbage. Don't want it. I don't care about it. Throw it out.
Right.
But overall, enjoyable, fun to watch, fun to make a couple little like snarky comments with your friends while watching it. Could have been shorter. Music was good. Wasn't Danny's best though. I love Danny Elfman. He is a god in my eyes. And this is probably my least favorite soundtrack from him.
It's very lazy for him.
Yeah, it was. I have a certain level of expectation for him, so, you know. He can't help it that he's awesome, and that now I've put him up on that pedestal. That's my fault, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you guys are right. I'm not going to really critique anything Candace said, because that's where I kind of am. Like, it's a fine movie. I'd watch it. Some of the background just like look like they're fighting on Mortal Kombat stages. It's very bizarre. And because it doesn't know what movie it wants to be, it feels very Ghostbusters 2, where it's like, you could be a dad, and also we have to save the world. It just keeps going back and forth.
He's Vigo!
Right? And so you got to cut down something. And it's a lot of whiplash between Abe Sapien trying to get laid, him trying to find out he's a father, and the world ending. Like, pick a story. Like, it's very bizarre. But that being said, you're doing fine. It's too long, but it's fine. There are worse ways to spend 2 hours. And it's Ron fucking Perlman. Like, take all of my money. Like, put him back in movies. Anyway, thanks for guys for listening. As we alluded to, stay tuned next week, of course. But we have a comic book movie on our Patreon this month. We're doing we're doing Watchmen to correspond with the 300. And Zack Snyder, which by this point I guess we've all seen Justice League at 5.5 hours or whatever that stupid movie's going to be.
This is DC!
Oh, God.
Okay. Never seen
that. What?
I've never seen a single one of the DC movies other than Suicide Squad.
You've never seen Dark Knight or...
Well, I've seen the Christopher Nolan stuff, yeah, but not all this new stuff that they've done.
You are totally fine.
I haven't seen Justice League or...
Birds of Prey is good.
Check out Birds of Prey. I think you really enjoy that.
Okay.
It's very fun. All right.
I'll put that on the list.
Anyway, thanks guys for listening, and join the Patreon for Myopia, which is Cineprov. Or sorry, patreon.com/myopia, and the Cineprov one if you want to do more movie riffs, which is patreon.com/cineprov. Norcast has already been out for months. Toyland is probably happening, has already happened. But follow Matt Quinn at accordingtoquinn.com. And, of course, Candace is just there. She's around.
Feel free to message me. We can be friends and stuff.
That's totally true.
Buy my book. Buy my book.
Buy Matt's book.
anyway, thanks, guys.
Myopia Movies is a production of Dude Letter Podcasting. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman, edited by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Suttis. The theme song is... Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod. Find his music on comtech.com. It is registered under the Creative 4 license. Our regular panelists are Matthew Quinn, Daniel Suttis, Nick Hoffman, and Jeremy Reibel. Thanks for listening. Please support our Patreon at patreon.com/myopia. Thanks, guys.